Off the Ball Breakfast.
Your projection now around this conversation.
No, we're not projecting. I'm fascinated by you as it is. I'm even more interested in you in terms of this topic.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
The good.
Is it a step too far to say it was the performance so far of the World Cup? Maybe not.
The bad.
I'm scratching my head. The performances was just lacked that intensity.
And the amber.
Off the Ball's performance rankings.
Arthur, I wish you well. Where are we starting?
Only one place to start.
Look at it.
Not sure what paper was in this morning, but Phil was getting a lot of joy out of Nowhere to Hide. That's the same picture of John there of Aidan O'Shea.
It was unbelievable, this, wasn't it?
Brutal. Absolutely brutal.
You and me, like, you and me were live blogging each other, texting, and
just unbelievable.
We ran out of words at the end.
They were 17 seconds away.
17 seconds, John.
Usa and Dura and Anna Cherry was 7 seconds, but. Why didn't they just kill it? Why didn't they just.
I don't know.
Have a bit of gamesmanship to just kill the situation, get the players behind the ball and concede a free to Donegal when that kick out happened. Now, it's hard to even say because you're trying to make a score that they could have held on to the ball a bit longer for the Hooter. The Hooter is great, by the way. But
we'll have that. We actually have the Hooter performance.
How many of these situations have Mayo been through over the last 20 years? And it happened last year, pretty much exactly the same. Now, look, ultimately, all this is down to the Cavan game. There's no way Mayo should have lost to Cavan in the first round of the group stage, and that's cost them a place in the All-Ireland series. They had to go and beat Tyrone, which they did. They did the hard part, and they nearly did the hard part yesterday in the wind in the second half. But they've imploded on their own performance against Cavan, and I think people can't lose sight of that when we're talking about what happened in the last few seconds yesterday.
No, I don't. I think you're spot on. I think they'll be absolutely kicking themselves because it's been such a strange year for them. Even thing the Galway game, the Connacht final, it's like they were kind of sort of second best draw, but then just kind of again it come towards the end, a lot of silly wides. Now, as fate would have had it, like winning that game probably wouldn't have changed too much in terms of the difficulty of the group they faced, but it's still just a year where it's so many near little misses. Like I'll be honest with you, I thought with the way Donegal were playing there yesterday, and they were hitting some wides, drop shots, different bits and pieces. McBrearty's kind of crazy miss.
What was he doing
for the goal?
Just use your right foot. You're
just
a good player.
Your right foot. I thought like Mayo, it'll be kind of a valiant defeat here, but when they the way they progressed up, kept on missing their own, kept dropping short. It was absolutely
Do you know what's mad, lads? It was the exact same result at the end of the game as it was at half time. But Mayo can probably feel slightly better about themselves about what they did in the second half. So there were 9 points to six down in the first half. They didn't really land the punch. If it wasn't for Ryan O'Donoghue, they had no chance at all. And they were playing against the wind as well in the second half. So it didn't feel like Mayo had a chance, but they scored early on in the second half. Conal Dawson came into it then big time, scored some lovely points. And then like Fergal Boland, like Maurice Brosnan had this series last week, Arthur, that he wants to debut, like the great points before the great points. And that was one of them. They thought they were true. And I was excited, John, about the prospect of Mayo going through. I was personally gutted when Ciarán Moore did what he did. As soon as he cut in from the left-hand side, you knew it was game over.
Well, look, Mayo have obviously had Kevin McStay has stepped aside, and you wonder, has that had an impact as well? That's the first thing you need to say. But have Mayo as a county got to grips fully with the new system and the new rules? Are there enough two-pointers?
There's no two-pointers.
So have they, because you think of Mayo, you think of a very physical running team, have they got to grips with the new system? You're looking at Monaghan and Meath, or two counties to me that have seemed to have been overperforming what their expectations would have been at the start of the season. I love what Donegal did, because so many counties or in this situation will just play safe. They went for it, and Ciarán Moore just went for it, and we're just going to go for the juggler. And if you go out. So I love that, actually, in the last 30 seconds.
If Ciarán Moore kicked it out of play, for argument's sake, the exact same result would have occurred. Donegal would have gone through the same that they did. So it was brutal stuff. But obviously, at the time, you don't know this.
Fairly, and
you go to win the game.
If you're a Cavan fan today, you're going fair play to Donegal, because they just went for it. They didn't think about the... They didn't Ireland hot in 1990-ish, where it's one all and we know we're both through. They went for it, and Mayo only got themselves to blame. But Mayo out, Roscommon out, Galway still just about in it. So Connacht, not the best. It's up to Galway to save Connacht now.
It is, yeah. But do you know Mayo, with 15 minutes left after David McBrien's goal, they went from bottom to top of the group.
Yeah. That's incredible.
So for a quarter of an hour to go, they were going through.
And this is going now.
They weren't going to be in the draw this morning.
There won't be a group stage next year.
Yeah, and it's sad to see. Because I love that. Look, people were talking, like, the last couple of years, John, people were lamenting the lack of jeopardy and all. Jeopardy was always the word associated with this stage of the All-Ireland Senior Football Championship. But this weekend,
but I think, what's helped the group stage is the new rules and the fact that I think the teams are
How do you think the new rules have helped?
I just think that, I think it's helped in that. I think some counties have adjusted to the new rules better than others. So I think, and therefore, we're almost dealing with a completely different game.
Yeah.
If you're dealing with a completely different game and some counties like Meath and Monaghan performing better than you think they would have, and these are what, Division 2 teams from the year, then you're getting a level playing field, much more level playing field than you would have had the last few years when you had the Dublin dominance. Dublin obviously come back to the pack. Kerry have not trained on relative to 2022. So if you're having pretty much a situation where you've no provincial winners qualified automatically for the quarterfinals of this All-Ireland series, it's remarkable.
Mm.
Therefore, if you have a levelling of the playing field and you're going to have a more competitive group stage, add the new rules. Like, it was 2:27 to 1:26 Monaghan down. Last year, the All-Ireland final was 1:11 for Armagh and 13 points for Galway. We're doubling it.
Yeah.
So it's absolutely, like, that was like watching a computer game of outdoor basketball at times yesterday, the Down Monaghan game. It was end to end. So you're talking about who are the fittest squads, who are the deepest squads, and therefore Gaelic football, we're talking about a completely different sport in ways. And that has made the group stage column, in my view, much more interesting. But obviously it's gone now.
I
think what's unfair about it, though, is, like, how are the teams who are getting the break now, how much of an advantage or not will they be?
Yeah. Fair point. We got to allocate a colour to Mayo. It is the performance rankings, Arthur. They were much better in the second half, but what do you want to give them?
No, it's got to be red. They're out of the championship and they'll be gutted. And maybe it's a kind of a ranking over. As I think Stephen Rochford was saying afterwards, like, it's a group, you kind of get what you deserve.
You did, in fairness, but he did say that.
You know, they lost two games.
Any argument with red?
Absolutely not. Should be beating Cavan. And look, is there the Buffalo Bills maybe? Is there anybody else in sport who has got so much pain as Mayo do?
I just couldn't believe it watching in real time, where you're thinking, like,
it was
that of like, oh, that's done. Oh, that's done now. And to be fair, like, correct me if I'm wrong here, but like, Donegal restart the play. If they were to have lost the ball there and Mayo go up and attack again, I mean, it could have pushed Donegal from second to third if they'd lost that game. It's an maybe they were very confident.
But they wanted to win the group, I imagine, in their mindset at that stage. They weren't bothered what was happening with Sean Cavan. They wanted to win the group.
Mayo still lost two games, should be in the red.
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah, fair enough.
All right.
Back page, the Irish Independent this morning, McGuinness, that wasn't fair. Donegal manager hits out a choice of venue after defeating Mayo in round robin thriller. The quotes are here on paper, but it's better to hear from the man himself.
No, we don't believe we should have been here today either, being honest with you. You know, we think that it was very unfair to bring us here. It was the equivalent of bringing Mayo to Oma. And we also put in an email, you know, to the CCCC to say we couldn't get a hotel. We couldn't get a hotel in the area, so we had to stay in Athlone. We had to go beyond the venue to come to play in the venue. And so it was the equivalent of Mayo going to play us in Oma and staying in Derry. And I don't believe that would happen. I think that would only happen because it's us. And disappointed in that. And we made a case, and we made the case early. And it was on deaf ears, you know. But that's for another day. But I don't like the fact that our supporters are always kind of being taken advantage of. We had seven games up to this point, you know. Nobody's played more games than us. Nobody. And yet, no, we had the longest trek. And all those people have to find a way to do all that, you know. So Breffni was an option. They're going to say it wasn't. I know that Clonus was offered, and that was rescinded. You know, all you're looking for is fairness, and the middle is fair, you know.
Jim, when you say it's us, what do you mean by that?
Donegal.
Why would you think that?
That's probably a... It's probably a long conversation column that we would need to have, you know. But we knew a month ago that it was going to be here. and we also knew we couldn't get accommodation, and we also knew that it was going to be difficult for us boarders, and we put that case forward, and that didn't happen, you know. So it happens for all the other teams. So why does it not happen for us? You know, everybody else had a fair shake this weekend. If you look at the two counties and you look at the geographical position, then all the games were fair. This wasn't a fair one. Like, you're 38 minutes from Mayo's training ground. You know, we're 3.5 hours from Inishowen. You know, it's not fair, and I think it's something that if I don't say it, like, who's going to say it? Do you know what I mean? If I don't say it, who's going to say it?
In the words of Mario Balotelli, John, why always me?
Are we allowed to be humorous about this? Is it okay to be humorous about this?
I think they'll survive, yeah.
Are we okay? Donegal, we're okay. Look, Jimmy Gill's a great fella. You know, he's an incredibly interesting man and an All-Ireland winner. Never to be repeated. But can you imagine, like, most counties would have the quotes of the manager on the wall, the Babs Keating stuff. Can you imagine the Donegal dressing room with massive maps of Ireland, ordnance surveys, and, like, this is where we had to go from and go to, and a big cane. Can you imagine the injustice? We've had to travel from here to here. Now, I want you to think about that, guys. The last thing I want you to think about going on to the pitch today is how long we've had to travel to play Mayo at Dr. Hyde Park.
Arthur,
like, where were Kerry playing? Tullamore? Was that game Meath and thing was in O'Connor Park, wasn't it?
Look, sport is about trying to get an edge. And
yeah.
Donegal will be at home, and it could be at home against Galway. We're going to find out in the show today. But maybe it's all about just creating that little bit, because as Jim said, they've had seven games, and they're trying to be, I suppose, as fresh and as on the edge as possible to drive themselves towards the All-Ireland. Maybe, like, obviously he thinks, you know, he's got a legitimate complaint.
Yeah. Kerry were an athlete, yeah.
Yeah. That's not a short journey either.
The fundamental nature of the GAA and the inter-county scene and all the way, and the fact that the calendar is squeezed like a boa constrictor, is that it's fundamentally unfair, and you've got to get at these unfair things. And it's fair play for him to say it, because we wouldn't have known about the issues behind the scenes if he hadn't said it. So I'm glad that he did say it. But is it the end of the world that they played in the Dr. Hyde? Look, they won, and surely they should be taken positive to the fact that they did win.
And I do think some of it as well is just down to the fact that he'll be disappointed with how they played.
Totally, yeah.
By their own standard, they came very close there to making an almighty mess of it.
Yeah. I can't get into this story at all, but it's the back page everywhere. I'm actually surprised how much it's covered considering what happened at the weekend, because, as I just blurted out there, Dublin. I was like, back these lads, like, a few weeks ago, was like, Dublin, if they win every game today, they're going to play from now on. But Conor Callaghan's back, John, scores the first score, the first and the second halves. But Arthur, the way that Dublin retained possession at the end when Derry were looking for a 2 point, we were only 2 points in the game, was skillful to say the least.
Yeah. Oh, they still have something about them.
They really do. They do, like. Like,
the consistency issues, though. That's the issue with Dublin. You're taking such a huge amount of generational, legendary talent out of that team. McCarthy, Fenton, Mannion, McCaffrey, Fitzsimons. It's hard to see them win the All-Ireland. They can beat anybody along the way. I think they could win any game. But the teams in my head are Tyrone are in my head, Monaghan are in my head, and Galway are in my head at the moment. They're the three teams in my head at the moment in this All-Ireland series. Two of them...
Not Armagh, no?
Well, Armagh, yeah.
Oh, sorry.
As well, but the, I suppose they're the obvious ones.
Oh, yeah,
I'm thinking of less obvious teams. I think Tyrone are in a quarterfinal now. Monaghan, I think, are wild card, especially with the way Rory Began plays. They scored, what, 227 yesterday?
Yeah.
And if you're looking for a team to do the attritional route, I think Galway are the team for the attritional route, because in the last 2 weeks, surely they have been massively steeled from the way they played against Derry and the way they played against Armagh now. And if they draw down without no disrespect to Down, it'll be the easiest draw that they can get. And if they can feed off that energy, they can be there or thereabouts.
What a start by Dublin. There were 4 points to nil up in no time whatsoever. So you had Conor Callaghan fist point after about 10 seconds. Killian McGuinness scored. Cormac Costello, Paddy Small. The thing is, they were getting scores from everywhere. And their wides went way down from the last day out against Armagh, which is already famously about 17, wasn't it?
Yeah.
They had about 3 at half time. Now, Derry themselves were very accurate. They had 1 at half time. So this is a fairly high level game, particularly in the first half. But it was the way that, Mayo went back to being Mayo this weekend. Like, there was so much excitement, and then it ended in heartbreak. And Dublin had not the full swagger back, but they had a bit of a strut.
Yeah, when Dublin won the All-Ireland 2 years ago, they didn't lose a game. They drew against Roscommon, but they didn't lose a game. They've lost two games. They lost to me. They lost to Armagh. I don't know. I mean, the draw might be favourable towards them this morning. We'll find out. But, I where they are in the betting, I'll have a look in the moment, but I can't see it.
It is Dublin in the performance rankings here, but just a word on Derry. Like, Conor Glass stemmed the flow twice as well in the first half, killing that 4-0 lead, and then the second half as well. And Dublin looked like they were going to run away with it for about in a 5 minute spell where they were knocking over point after point. But the narrative around Derry is like, oh, they're a good team, but they haven't won a game in a year.
Yeah. Look, there's immense work going on there, and well, maybe they'll kind of maybe they've set a new base for themselves, and that's kind of, you know, that they're kind of always going to be kind of thereabouts. Maybe that it comes through, but it kind of feels like that team that kind of won, wasn't it, back to back Ulsters, and kind of looked like they're really going for something. It's probably just passed a little bit, but they've been unlucky at the same time. Like, that Galway game was a freak. It's like they really should have beaten Galway at home.
So
it's tough, like, with the margins. It's funny, like, for all the kind of the blowouts, and you had, like, so Cavan, like, finishing up on minus 29 score or something, like, but when you go through the rest of the scoring difference, it's so fine.
It is mad.
Like, it is so tight.
It's crazy, because you nearly feel better about Derry this point than you would, say, Galway. And Galway are progressing. Like, it is mad. And, like, Derry had Brendan Rodgers, that goal chance, John, it just went wide, and Rory Forbes.
Derry had the championship.
That was cleared off the line by Pogner. But that's just fine margins. It's real fine margins, because that's it for Derry. That's our last discussion on Derry. Like, you say, they're out. So, and it's what we're going to leave them with. And they played well, but they're gone. But listen, Dublin are
seven
the subject.
7-1 for Dublin.
For Dublin.
7-1, the All-Ireland. Which was the price they were the year they won it with Stephen Cluxton in 2011.
All right.
So there you go.
Some memory.
Green for Dublin?
Oh, yeah, they got through. They got through. And, like, you got to be green.
I think Dublin are an orange.
All right, okay.
I'll be the deciding vote, so I'll give them green. Yeah, they're true.
All right.
They're true. Now, the colour allocation for Galway could be a bit more up for debate. So they get through, they beat Armagh. Now, it was a strong Armagh side on paper, but they had nothing to play for, essentially. Armagh were 8 points up at half time in this game. Shane Walsh then, and his majesty in the hooter, what a point from the free. Took it out of his hands, skied it, like, 30,000 feet, and then eventually went over. Galway missed two penalties in this game. Wild.
I wouldn't evaluate by... I know Armagh technically didn't have anything to play for, but they did have a chance to kind of kill off Galway, at least in their own minds. You know, so I don't know if... I think there was plenty for them to play for, albeit not as critical, I suppose. I mean, they had nothing to lose as such. It's just the kind of rivalry that keeps on giving. And again, we kind of refer back to Morris last week. I think I got a message from about 6 o'clock, or I don't know, probably a little bit later, whatever time on Saturday evening after that match was done. And it's something, another chapter for the book. So he's determined to write this Galway Armagh book rivalry anyway. But it's, I don't know what they are. I don't know where they are. I don't know, like, at what their upper limit is. I thought coming into the year that Galway is like, oh, whatever happens, they're going deep. They're going to kind of proper serious contenders.
Well, the feeling was good about Galway earlier in the year.
Yeah,
but it's kind of a bit damp.
It has a wee bit, like, I know they got over the line in the Connacht final, but, like, a slightly more clinical team catches them.
Yeah.
Dublin catch them. The Derry, they pretty much got caught by Derry and managed to get their way out of it.
Yeah.
And then I suppose, look, but they won when the chips were down. In their first knockout game of the year, they won it. What was for them a knockout game of the year? They won. So I don't know. It'll be very interesting. So what they could end up now playing, they could end up going to Ballybuffet, is it? Depending on the draw. That's what their potential
is,
worst case.
Perry, or they could be going to Down.
Yeah, exactly. We'll find out in about a half an hour. John, why does Shane Walsh get so much criticism?
Because he's so good.
Is that an Irish thing?
Well, I don't know if it's an Irish thing, but if you perform the way he played in that 2022 All-Ireland final against Kerry, you're thinking, why can't this guy do this every time? But there's criticism because people can go, well, just repeat it. And humans and athletes and mavericks are not like that. So he was just brilliant on the weekend, but... Then people think about last year's All-Ireland final when everything went wrong for him. So that's where you get the criticism. If you're David Clifford got criticism after Kerry in 2023. So I think if you're given the honour of being the player who's the talisman of the team and you don't perform, then obviously you're going to get the criticism. But where's the criticism coming from? You'd hope that it's not coming from his own county. But like he needs to be fit. Damien Comer needs to be fit. You know, I do think they're... a county that is aligned with the new rules, and I think they do have definitely have a say still in the championship, but we could have see a big county going. I mean, I think one thing we can't forget is, and maybe Arthur is still in the performance rankings, but the way Kerry are...
Get to Kerry next.
We'll do a time. So Galway will put where? We'll go on to Kerry.
Galway put in the orange, would you?
Grant. Galway in the amber, so we're on to Kerry. That's a tougher one.
Yeah.
So they lose to Meads quite comfortably on Saturday.
Not in the green.
But on the green.
No.
Ah, this is a red all day, lads, isn't it? 122-16 points they lose to Meads. Now, they are missing, fellas. Sean O'Shea's gone bringing up Jugglick, but Meads are missing lads as well. And five of their six starting forwards, Meads, had all scored before the hour mark. They were well better.
And just as a side note, I now believe, I'm correct in saying that every team is now lost.
Yeah, it's a good question. But
I think Kerry were the only outstanding ones left.
I would imagine so. Yeah. I can't think of anyone else who's not.
It's so strange in a year where kind of it feels like we've seen Monaghan more of.
Lost. No, they lost to Donegal, didn't they?
Yeah, Monaghan must have lost.
Lost to Donegal.
Yeah, they didn't win the most championships, so they must have lost. But it feels in a year where we kind of, I feel more so than ever, we kind of have a clear enough idea of a good range of counties. We've just seemed to have seen them all a lot. And yet have absolutely no concept whatsoever of where Kerry are or.
Well, is Kerry not squad strength? Is not the thing that came to my mind immediately. If you don't have Sean O'Shea, Dermot O'Connor, Paul Gainey, Paddy Clifford, who's stepping up in terms of the squad to not get a clear beating from Meath.
Yeah.
So that's, to me, seems to be, if Kerry's full 15 or firing and fit and up fresh, then look. I think a lot of it will wash out. I think the quarterfinals themselves, I mean, whether the preliminary games, the quarterfinals themselves will tell a lot about where we are. I'll be fascinated. I think trying to predict the finalists is hard enough, but trying to predict the semi-finalists,
yeah.
I think there'll be
100%.
You could have where the establishment could come back. Kerry, Donegal could end up.
Yeah.
Once again, I always look, the bookmakers generally don't get it wrong. Armagh favourites, Kerry second favourites, Donegal third favourites, Galway, then Dublin, then Tyrone. Like, there's five teams between 3-1 and 8-1, and then Monaghan are 25-1.
Because I suppose a lot will depend as well.
Do need to look at Division 1 football, because I know Armagh came out of Division 2 and Dublin have, but generally over the years, for 20 years, this Division 1 teams have won the All-Ireland. Yeah. But the new rules have thrown everything out of the window. So
Kerry Red, no doubt about it?
Yeah, I suppose from their own side.
Performance on the day was very poor.
They'll be disgusted with it. They've have to play an extra game now. Like, it's...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's critical for them.
Any arguments against that, John? Have you? All right. And last for Gaelic football and Gaelic games, or Gaelic football actually, for the performance rankings is the Hooter. John, you've already stated your colours here. You love it?
Well, I suppose what you love about it is that you know.
Yeah.
And how dramatic will it be in an All-Ireland final. Remember the Hawkeye point that Bubbles Dwyer missed to win the All-Ireland for... Tipperary in probably the greatest game ever in hurling in 2014, drawn game against Kilkenny, and he missed it. And it's like, everybody's looking to the screen, 72 minutes on the watch. Like, this is going to be the thing with the Hooter. And it's also about how you retain possession. Like, Dublin did it really well in Salt Hill against Galway, Tom Lahiff. And like, the Hooter goes, say they're level in the All-Ireland final, next score, it's straight in at the top of the charts in green. I've spoken to players in the women's game who love it. And even with the Limerick-Cork game, there's controversy in hurling about how much time was there or how much time wasn't there in the Munster final. How is it a negative, I suppose, is the question.
Do you like the amendment to it throughout the year, where initially it was Hooter gone? Now it's Hooter next play.
Oh, no, next play.
Oh, yeah.
It has to be next play. Hooter gone is outrageous.
No, it's crazy.
Now, Hooter gone may well be true.
Hooter gone is terrible.
Hooter next play.
Yeah.
And that is...
And it's unbelievable. Do you have any arguments against this?
Zero.
It actually makes it more fair because it takes it out of the referee's hands. And we're not saying the referees are in any way... Like, referee might make a mistake or might just make a judgment on his interpretation of the time might not be an interpretation of everybody else. You're always like a little 5% cloud or uncertainty. You're taking that all out of it and then it's the next score.
It's interesting. Michael here on YouTube saying this format is a total waste of time. It is interesting because there's still 12 teams left from 16. But like, then you look at the excitement of what happened in all of those games over the weekend.
The rules are pushing the excitement.
It's the rules, though. I think you say. A lot of interest in the Jim McGuinness story on YouTube, actually. Poor us, give over, Jim. Well, that's poor Donegal, Jesus wept, Jim. Kerry played Meath and Tullamore was unfair. 30 minutes from Meath, border over 3 hours from ours. Us against the World Mentality from McGuinness. Dublin looked much better. Yeah, Armagh had an hour's less journey to Cavan. Also players from Connemara has a 3 hour journey. So basically, it ain't just gym.
It ain't just normal. Gym. Like, it's just normal. It's just the way it is.
So the Hooter in green. All right, let's switch to golf. So John gave us the insight there into the US Open generally, but we want the Irish angle here from Rory McIlroy and Shane Errey. Rory McIlroy seemed a lot happier yesterday. Finished on 3 under, had a decent end to his US Open. But on Saturday, after his round, he cut a very discontented figure. Have a listen.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I have. I've been totally available for the last few years. And I'm not saying maybe not you guys, but maybe more just the whole thing.
Yeah, that was a part of it.
Yeah, that was a part of it. But it's not as if, like, at Augusta, I skipped you guys on Thursday. So, it's not out of the ordinary. I've done it before. I'm just doing it a little more often.
Is it part of the you kind of carried the tour of your awards for like 3 or 4 years now? You feel like you're going to break?
I feel like I've earned the right to do whatever I want to do, yeah.
Has he, John?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, there's, I suppose, two sides to which people can go, well, you're paid millions, you're probably paid out of proportion to the popularity of your sport in the world, and it's seen as an elitist sport by a lot, and it's seen as a sport, you know, of the rich. But Rory McIlroy didn't come from a wealthy background. He's worked hard his whole life and supported by his parents to become the player who's only the sixth in history to win a career Grand Slam. And he has been fantastically refreshing and honest, and just has said everything that's kind of been on his mind in press conferences for his whole career. So cut the guy some slack, give him a break. Rory McIlroy should be on the beach for 6 months, in my view. I know he's got commitments, obviously contractual commitments, and the Open support rush is in his own home province. Next month, you've got the Ryder Cup this year in New York, which will be very heated, I'd expect. But Rory McIlroy, if he could choose to have an off season now, I'm sure he would, and spend a few months on a beach, which he deserves. Like, he's completed the golf by winning the career Grand Slam. And for everybody to expect him to turn up as a human who always bears a soul and just say everything in the way that he normally says it is a bit unrealistic. He's a human being. He's a sports person. Sometimes he can be grumpy. I remember Tiger Woods was like really off with the media for about 15 years every single week. And it was nothing was talked about it. He just closed down to everything. It'd be like three questions. That's it.
Yeah.
Now he became more cuddly in the last few years, Tiger Woods. But there was a time when Tiger Woods was not the warmest man, put it that way, on a golf course. So Rory McIlroy has nothing to prove. Don't think he owes anybody anything. I think he's right. Now, that was Saturday. Yesterday, he was a bit more positive, talking about the fact that he scaled Everest, and he needs to think about, understandably, new mountains to climb. And why wouldn't he? Because if your whole life, we saw his whole life over 4 days, we saw his whole life over 4 hours to the final round of the Masters. When you look at the US Open, anybody stayed up for it last night, it just felt like a more regular run-of-the-mill type of major compared to the unbelievable, like when we talk about reviews of the year this December, it'll be clearly the best thing we've seen all year. Clearly. Like, it was incredible. It was the whole person's life in the game in the space of a few hours. It was a movie.
Yeah.
It was a movie. So where does he go in the performance rankings? He finished in the top 20. He did 67. I just think he's mentally fatigued and he needs a bit of time off, but he probably can't take it at the moment. And that's why he's a bit... I mean, he's moving as well over to England. So
is he?
There's a lot of things going on.
Yeah, like we both said, he seemed a lot happier yesterday when he chatted with media. And look, you touched on it there. Tiger Woods was cold for a decade and a half. And that's why people are asking these questions of Rory, because he's a very warm figure naturally.
So many golfers who... There's golfers attacking locker room doors at the US Open.
Wyndham Clark.
Allegedly. Yeah. There's golfers who don't say boo to a goose, who just give the most anodyne, robotic, brain-dead stuff. There was a meme, I think it was one of the very first virals, leave Britney alone. Leave Rory alone. So it would be my kind of view. And so therefore, he shouldn't go in the red for me.
How about Shane Errey, though? So finished 17 over.
He's also mentally spent. It seems.
Is Shane he? Larry, do you think so?
Shane Lowry, I think, is frustrated that he hasn't won this year. He hasn't won that many times. I'm counting 7 times worldwide. Now, he's won big tournaments, but he hasn't won a 4-round stroke play tournament since he won the Open in 2019. When he won at Wentworth, it was 3 rounds, and he won at McIlroy last year in New Orleans. It was a team event. He's been second a couple of times. I think he's frustrated that he hasn't won. I think that frustration has once again maybe affected his mental freshness. He's 17 over par, but he's able, I think, if he comes back to Ireland, takes a break like he did before Paul Rush in 2019, goes there fresh, he's every chance of retaining this title.
Look, he's not the only high profile player to miss the cut over the weekend. Like, you know, you had Bryson DeChambeau, Justin Rose, Justin Thomas, Tommy Fleetwood,
green,
Patrick Cantley,
your
buddy.
If you're talking about a green for the US Open, it should be the course. Oakmont should get the green for being absolutely brutal and putting the golfers in their place, Rory McIlroy included.
What about Larry's behaviour, John? People I saw online are complaining about it.
He's just emotional. He's just an emotional fella, and he wears his heart on his sleeve. And I don't think, once again, he's authentic. He's not false. And but there is a narrative out there, and a lot of writing about it today in the papers. Ria Al-Samari, Rick Broadbent in the English papers talking about golfers need to cop themselves on because there is a degree of childish petulance that there is a bit of a narrative around that at the moment. That golfers are just they're like live. I don't think it's been a positive for the game. Like the last couple of paragraphs. The latter, this is Colin Morikawa's, I don't owe anybody anything about talking to the press. The latter underplays the role media visibility has played in the accumulation of wealth at a time when prize funds are wildly out of step with the success of the product. Golf's viewing figures are not great, nor are the looks and sounds of the protagonists. So I'd agree with that. There's too much money in golf. They live in a bubble, these people. Rory McIlroy actually hasn't lived in the bubble, and that's why I think he just needs to be sent his ticket in the post. Get his PA to send him his ticket to wherever that island is where he needs to be for the next while.
And I quote, fuck this place, Shane Lowry says as he misses another putt. Before we allocate them a green, and they are coming as a pair here, Rory McIlroy and Shane Lowry.
Well, they're not a green. I would say put them in the colour that you don't have.
Well, that's not an option. So what colour do you want them?
All right, so what do you think? What colour would you put them in? I put them in the amber. They're Irish players representing them.
Like, I think I'd have to go red.
I'm gonna go red.
Only for okay. Like
I'm voted
red.
To red.
He's not made the cut. Like
these golfers are in the red.
It's interesting though, isn't it? Because it's very interesting. It's kind of what you highlighted in 100-1 player winning that there's a certain randomness, is an unkind way, but unpredictability to it. But that it's that we come into every single major. And the dialogue around it all the times, and it'll happen again in a month's time, is always the same about the reasons why they can do it. Whereas like...
Yeah, yeah.
It's so interesting now that...
You never lose hope on these lads.
It'll have been
ever.
6 years since Lowry's. We still kind of... Yeah. You'll still talk about it. It's like, well, there's perfectly good reason for him to do it. It's like, but it's
but he's
so
consistent, though. He's consistent.
Statistically, it's so hard. 156 players.
Of course. Oh, no, I'm not.
I mean, I know that.
No but, criticism.
Like, I'm saying generally, you have 155 opponents to beat, and then the other opponent is yourself.
But it's so interesting in that regard of how we measure success in it. Because yeah. We don't really, as you're saying, like McIlroy getting in the top 20, or finishing the top 20, or Scheffler in the top 10, but like it just doesn't register. It's
Robert
not
McIntyre, massive success.
Mm. Yeah.
Massive success to finish second in a major championship with a 68 in the final round and a bogey free back 9. And he was congratulating Spawn. Rory McIlroy, I think that he's so open. I think the openness, surely at times, he just wants to tell everybody to F off.
Oh, he pretty much did, didn't he?
And you just sometimes you just want to close the door. Because the whole thing with the Masters is you're on Jimmy Fallon, you're wearing the jackets, you're doing the New York Stock Exchange kind of stuff. And if you're public property, like fame... Generally, he's worn it pretty well. He took it to live. He's been the face of the sport. Remember, and I've said it before, this guy is the face of the sport. He is literally the representative of golf around the world. He's a global phenomenon. Mm. And I read in the pre-tournament press conference that he's just said, I've been saying no a lot. Having a private life is just not a possible thing for him to do. That's why possibly why he's moving back to England, to Wentworth. And
that is interesting.
It is just, he's got a young daughter. Fame is... I remember watching the Maradona movie
Asif Kapadia,
yeah,
is it?
Yeah.
And the suffocation nature of fame when he's at the airport. Maradona, the suffocation of the fame. And McElroy has brought his fame to a new level because rather than being seen as a lovable loser relative to his talent over the last 11 years, now he's completed golf. He's won everything you can win in it. So therefore, he now is the face of the game for how long? What, the next 10 years? Unless Scheffler wins maybe the career Grand Slam.
Yeah, that's interesting. Is he the face of the game?
Absolutely the face of the
game. For the next 10 years. So Rory and Shane, you say, do you think they both need a break?
Absolutely.
Does that include missing the Open?
No, but they can't. And they've got contractual obligations to tournaments and all that kind of thing. They can't just...
So they can't get a
break.
They
can't take a break until after the Ryder Cup. But if they could take a break, this would be the best time for them to take a break. Because it's not a game of perfect. It's a mentally taxing game. Mm. You're on the road all the time. Look, this is massive first world problems. This is a much more first world problem. Like Jim McGuinness is bringing his amateur players to Dr. Hyde. It's probably a harder thing to do than getting on a private jet and getting out of Oakmont to Pennsylvania. So I can see both angles. Golfers generally do need to cop on. But I think the nature of the game itself and the utter, like if you set up till 1:30 in the morning, as stupid as I was, it was utterly compelling television. So that's why there is an interest in it. And that's why the money has followed it. Obviously, the geopolitical Saudi stuff as well has followed the money. So,
in fairness to McElroy, he drove very well over the weekend.
It's nothing to do with his game. It's his mental state. It's like if you've achieved everything, if you're eating a fillet steak every day, after 3 months of eating fillet steak, you probably say, I don't want to eat fillet steak today.
You know, they talk about the one percenters. This is the 0.0001% of people in life who have done absolutely everything by a young age. It must be terrifying in many ways. I thought Rory McIlroy would be happy-go-lucky these last couple of months, and publicly he's been the opposite. It is amazing what it does to people.
Well,
maybe privately he's very content.
But you think about Messi.
Maybe
Messi plays in a team. McIlroy is an individual.
Yeah.
And as I say, if you're seen as the global, like, how many people in the world know? If you're going to go to any city in the world or speak to anybody in Ireland who's a casual sports fan, how many golfers could they name?
Oh yeah, no, not too many.
Less
anymore.
Than 10? That's why I always talk with the League of Ireland, and we're talking to the lads. How many? If you go, you talk to a regular person on the street, how many League of Ireland players could they name?
Yeah, that's why it's important. So important about the manager side of things. It's become again. It's so.
So they can name maybe they can name what Scheffler, Bryson, John Rahm, maybe Brooks Koepka, Shane Lowry, maybe Justin Rose, McIlroy. That's about it.
All right. Congrats to JJ Spawn. We'll leave the golf there for now. We're rattled through the rest here in the performance rankings. Leinster Rugby 32-7. They beat the Bulls on Saturday evening at Croke Park to win the URC title.
That's the real quiz.
That's the real quiz, exactly. Yeah. Has this been a successful season? I asked James Tracy last week before the final. It's all said and done now. Is this a green for Leinster?
Oh, you get they have to go in the green. They won a final.
And a green overall?
For what, the season?
Yeah.
No, like I'm sure not. They brought in one of the best players in the world. They hired a 2-time World Cup winning coach, and they're worse off than they were last
year. They've won the Europa League.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine.
Well, they won a trophy this year, in fairness.
Sorry, they did. Yeah,
they
sorry.
Won the Europa League of rugby.
The Spurs of rugby, you're trying to tell me. All right, so this is an undoubted green, so for Leinster, as we move on here to the Club World Cup. And Gianni Infantino is squirming here, lads.
Put it in the red.
Bayern Munich beat Auckland City.
We don't have much time here. We don't 10-0, have much time. Yeah.
10-0, the part-timers. We'll put it in the red for now. All right, short into the red. And then for now, for the performance rankings, let's finish up here with a bit of Damien Duff magic. He spoke after Shell's last 2-1 at home to Shamrock Rovers on Friday night. Have a listen.
A lot of talk about the build-up between your relationship, yourself and Stephen. You had the handshake before the game. Is that it cooled off? Are you best buddies again? Or just your thoughts on that?
I don't have any buddies in football, best friends, etc. Yeah, I'm incredibly close to the staff. Staff I'm lucky to have. Staff that I didn't really know, and I picked them and we've grown organically, so I love them and what have you. But outside of that, I'm 46, went in the 16, 30 years. I don't have any friends in football, and I'm not actively looking for any. And most important people in my life are me. Family, the staff and the players.
Was it important that handshake took place because you kind of stepped over to make sure it happened before the game?
Yeah, well, listen, you can talk about handshakes all we want. I didn't shake hands in Tala for a certain reason. If I did, I mightn't end it in a good way. So tonight, here in my house, I'll welcome you into my house.
Thank you very much, David.
You're in me gaff. Get out. Sean McGrover's first win at Talca Park since April 2022 as they maintain their 6-point lead at the top of the League of Ireland Premier Division. So that's an undoubted green to finish up this week's performance rankings.
Off the Balls Performance Rankings.